Boy,
your nerd card has been pulled.
Oh, you don't get a nerd card for knowing a movie about Brad Pitt in a fucking...
I know about egg...
Glowing clock!
Hey guys, welcome back. This is the Friends Like Us podcast, a podcast where we'll be deep diving into each episode of Friends. I'm Steven, and I'm here with Leah and Brayden. And special guests, my sister Stephanie, and my brother-in-law Jeremy. In this episode, we'll be discussing The One with Mrs. Bing, which is Season 1, Episode 11. If you'd like to share how you feel about this episode, hit us up on Twitter, at FriendsLikeUsP1.
So in this episode, Chandler's flamboyant romance novelist mother comes to visit, and Joey catches her kissing Ross. Meanwhile, Monica and Phoebe fight over a guy in a coma. It's still crazy.
Alright, before we get started getting into everything, did anyone... kiss someone's mom to prepare for the episode?
Yeah, I kissed your mom.
What was it like?
Very tender.
Underwhelming.
In the next episode, we will discuss how that information has changed our relationship.
I need to have a talk with my mother.
Never been so turned on in my life.
No. To answer your question.
All right. So,
how about a father?
Yeah. We're wild, man. Whoa.
I was saying.
Negative gross,
right? Spicy. No. Why is that? Why
no silver foxes.
No zaddies.
All right. So, three plot points. Well, two plot points. We got Ross kissing Mrs. Bing. And we got Monica, Phoebe, and the coma guy. So, which one we want to start with? Or, I guess.
Coma.
We should start with the intro, I didn't make any notes on. So what was the intro?
The intro scene is Phoebe and Monica.
Woo-wooing at the coma guy.
Yes, the coma is the first thing that happens.
He gets hit by an ambulance.
Can we not talk about, the dude was standing in the street for a solid 10 seconds.
And he was a moron, so yeah, it was a three.
No, the ambulance driver saw the guy.
Not really a lot to talk about other than him getting smashed, and I'm assuming that they follow him to the hospital in the ambulance because
they feel guilty.
Do they get in the ambulance with him?
Well, that's what I meant. Oh. They get in the ambulance with him because how else do they know what room he's in? They have no idea what his name is. They've never met this guy before.
That's true.
You think they just put him in the ambulance that hit him?
Yes.
Well, why wouldn't? Well, the ambulance was obviously going. He probably already had somebody in the back
exactly.
Or somewhere to go.
What's that? Was there an awkward moment where he like hits the guy and goes, "Sorry, I'm full," and then just takes off and they have to call another ambulance to come pick him up? I feel like that could have happened.
But they didn't have their sirens on.
Yeah, but once the person's in the ambulance, they don't necessarily have the sirens on.
Depends on the situation.
I can speak from experience.
Yeah, but it depends on life or death situation.
On the sirens.
Yeah.
I will say I found out something cool about that scene I never knew about.
Lay it on us.
If you look when Phoebe and Monica come out of the doors of some building that they're in, like, come outside, you know the VD poster of Joey?
Mm. Oh, is it there?
It's there. Like, right
that's a nice gem
behind
them,
if you look at it again. And I read about it, and then when I watched the episode, I looked for it, never saw it in how many years have we been watching it? How mad have I been?
I wonder, we need to look for that and see if that's a thing that comes up throughout the first season. I know it doesn't come up after the first season, but there might be some other opportunities.
Maybe it does, but it's just when it's when they first come outside and it's that black and white poster of, what was his name? What so-and-so wasn't telling
me. Oh, what is,
Mario.
Mario.
Not telling me. I thought that was cool.
No, that's hilarious. We didn't notice it, so.
Yeah.
I read
you
that.
Can't come on
nice
the show
catch.
And make us look bad. We're the experts.
I'm going to edit that out. It's okay.
That's a fun fact just for us.
We're going
to also going to need you to turn the profanity down for this.
What the fuck ever. Have you listened to their shows?
Hey, this is a family show. We don't do that anymore here.
Fucking win.
Shout out to Brayden's mom.
Oh, did she comment on your foul mouth?
Yes.
The last episode that we recorded over here, I just happened to be on the phone with my mother, and right before I walked in, and I'm like, "Hey, I gotta go. I'm about to record this podcast." She's like, "Okay, love you. Don't say fuck."
That's great.
I was like, "No promises, mom. You know I can't do that."
I think he intentionally says fuck at least one time on the show just for her.
just to justify that explicit marking.
We earn it every time.
Yeah. That's fast.
Shall we jump into Monica, Phoebe, and the Coma Guy? Is that what we want to start with?
Sure.
Since that's the weakest.
Yeah.
Let's do that one.
And that's literally what the first scene
favorite.
Starts with.
That's all right.
It's so dumb.
So, Monica, Phoebe, and the Coma Guy.
They're super creepy.
Super creepy. How do we feel about the storyline? Let's get our special guest opinion first.
Why? Any of you heard of the movie called Why You're Sleeping with Sandra Bullock?
Yes.
No.
Who's Sandra Bullock? Falls in the train.
Whoa! Too far.
You're such a fart knocker.
Now that ages you more than me.
So, but much.
It's got the guy with the great eyebrows in it.
Oh, God.
I can't think of
his eyebrows. He was in the OC.
You will recognize this guy. Yeah, for some reason, crazy.
So this came out, this episode came out like maybe 2 or 3 months before this
Peter Gallagher.
Oh, yes.
Hey!
Yeah, it hasn't. The other guy she falls in love with, you guys would recognize too. His brother, who is not in a coma, but she does fall in love with.
So this reminds you.
It is a very similar situation.
It's exactly. And they even, when I was like doing research, they bring it up.
But in that movie, Sandra Bullock kind of gets pulled in mistakenly.
Yeah, in that movie. So in the movie, like, she pretends to be in a relationship with the dude in the coma, and she ends up like being pulled into their family because she lied about it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, every time I see this episode, I think of that movie because I watched that movie growing up. I never made any connection to that movie until I did research and found out they're like, yeah, it was released like 2 or 3 months before that movie, and they said that. So.
Ah, okay. A little bit of inspiration.
I feel like we didn't do any research on this episode.
Cut that out. So
I feel so ill prepared.
So anytime I shouldn't say this episode. So every time I see the girls doing that with this coma guy part, I think of that movie.
Yeah, I never made that connection, but it makes sense. Their plot is far more troubling because they're already building him up. I feel like both of their dating lives have been so shitty.
Let's call a square a square. They reek of desperation.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, it's terrible.
Absolutely.
I mean,
so if you were in the same situation and you've yelled at a person who happens to get hit by a vehicle, where do you draw the line on your responsibility to stick with that situation? Do you duck out immediately because it's like, not really my fault. Guy shouldn't have been paying attention.
They don't know my name. They don't know where I live. I'm out.
Bye.
I don't know. I think I'm there for the police report, and then I'm done.
I'm not even there for the police report. As soon as I see you get hit, the ambulance stops, then I'm good. Now, when I see it drive away, maybe I hang out at the magazine stand a little while longer, see what's going on the... But as soon as the next ambulance comes by to pick you up, we're good.
What do you want me to do? I'm not trained for this. Let the professionals handle it. Yeah. I think especially Monica, she's just had such shitty luck with men that she's kind of built this guy up, and he can't fuck up any of that in their minds. So they build him up like, oh, he's the perfect guy, but they don't even know his name.
Yeah. And they're psychopaths.
I mean, sexual battery at the least. I mean, what do you call what they did to him?
So I don't even know how you get I don't think you would get away with it at this point, but how do you just get to go... Exactly. How do you get to just go visit some guy, they don't even know the name of him in this episode, and they just visit him every day?
You can go visit anyone you want
to. It's too special.
Yeah, but a nurse didn't hop in and be like, ma'am, why are you undressing this man?
They could have lied, though.
That's true. I mean, that's a very true part of it.
I'm sure they check up on him every once in a while.
Well, yeah, but they could be like, oh, no, he's my boyfriend or whatever. But
the nurses are just happy they don't have to do it.
Here's the thing. In real life, it would have been like, he's a dude. He's going to have a wallet with some sort of ID. And then they would have been, can I see your identification, please?
Where was his identification?
I know,
they just should have
figured out his name.
Yeah. It just John Doe. He didn't have any kind of identity.
Yeah,
well,
that was
did,
my only thing that bothered
but
me.
But it is
that.
New York, so he may not have had a driver's license. So that's possible, actually. Yeah. Not
but
a lot of people drive in New York.
Maybe he has a credit card. Do you at least know what his name is?
I was about
is?
To say, he should have had something with his
but
name.
But this is
on
the
it.
90s. Were credit cards popular in the 90s?
Not as much.
They were wildly popular. That's why we're in the situation we are now.
But they were popular in, like, the 2000s.
He should have had something in a wallet with his name on it.
He could have just
maybe
had
a checkbook. I'll give you a checkbook.
Maybe.
Are there no conscious men in the city for
yeah.
people?
That is a great Chandler line. But he's the only one who says anything. No one else really
no
points
one bats
it out.
An eye about, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, Ross, is, Ross starts off the conversation. He's like, so you're seeing this? Like, he kicks off the scene.
Mm.
Complaining about the whole situation. So Ross has a problem with it. Joey's problem is with the fact that
they did woo woo.
Woo woo. Yeah, that's his
problem. He doesn't even woo woo.
I think it was.
What about Glenn? He could be a Glenn.
Can't be a
so basically the girls are naming him or trying to name him.
Super
and
build
him
up in
his mind. Build him up in their minds as the perfect man, and that's kind of it with that.
We get one of the rare, like, they don't really do it past season one. We get a montage, which is not something Friends does a lot. It's always weird when we get a montage in Friends.
So what do you rate this episode as a whole?
What?
10.
6.
I do like a 6.6, maybe a 6.7. You know?
Yeah, I
like
think
no
I.
Decimals.
Yeah. 6.5, something like that.
Yeah.
It's not terrible.
If you can get half a star,
great.
You can have half a number. Come on.
No.
Yeah.
That's not even half a number. That's like.
I'll round down then. I'll give it a 6.
And it loses. I would say it loses most of its points with this storyline.
Because
yes.
of that. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's.
That's,
not,
what, bring it, that's what brought it down.
It's not a realistic thing that would have happened.
What do you think, Jeremy?
I mean, it's a 6 at best. I mean,
yeah.
You take out the
seven
part.
7 is pretty good. Yeah, you're right. It should be a 7.
Yeah. I just see what you did there. yeah, if it wasn't for some other points in the episode saving it, it would be way lower than
yeah.
a 6.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
That one plot point, and I guess it was probably funnier in 95, but it's just, it misses me today.
Yeah.
Don't find it funny.
But
so
when I said this episode, I was like, let's do this one. I actually forgot about that part.
See, we've had this problem a lot. We build these episodes up in our heads, kind of like Monica builds up the coma guy in her head. It's like, we're like, oh, that's the one where Ross and Rachel kiss for the first time. It's going to
mm-hmm.
be great. And then we do
you
it like,
fuck
this episode.
Yeah.
Everything else in this is trash.
Was like, there was 30 good seconds
yeah.
in this episode.
It's that one iconic moment that you remember, and you're like, oh, that was great. But then
well,
you
half
forget.
And half. It was a half and half for me. Like, half
that's
of it's
like,
about...
What?
It's a half and half for me.
But yeah,
what you're drinking.
No pun intended.
For those of you that can't see, Stephanie is chugging a whole carton of half and half.
It's not a whole carton. It is a
solid pint.
A quart.
A quart.
A what?
Quart.
What is
a quart.
A quart. Okay. It's a quart for a minute. I was confused.
It's not like it's a
quart. So you could make like 100 pancakes, or you could drink that.
I feel like this is a very Joey thing for you to be drinking a quart.
I'm Kirby and I like it.
Oh God.
32 stars.
So,
all right, moving
so we
on.
Montage our way to the coma guy waking up.
Well,
oh wait, no. There's a little bit of a tut. There's a tuff. There's a tussle. Tussle. There's a tiff. There's
yeah,
a
they
tiff.
Start noticing that they're seeing him at separate times.
Yes,
and coming in when the other one's not there.
They
not
had to know
enough.
This would happen.
Jealousy.
It's such a so, weird dynamic, though, if you think about it. Like they're going together to go see this guy who's in a coma that they both like, and then now they're going separately to one up the other person
mm-hmm.
of this guy in a coma who has no idea that they even exist.
Yes.
Who cares for this guy?
Yeah, so this is when we find out that Monica was changing his pajamas.
Mm-hmm.
Just creepy.
Just batshit crazy.
Now that's
which,
like molestation.
I mean, what do you? What else do you call it? He got me too'd.
It depends.
He got me too'd.
A little bit.
I'm just curious how she managed to change him by herself.
A lot of
Monica.
Contact.
She's efficient.
Yeah.
Well, she's as strong as a bull. What are you talking about?
That's a good point. They bring that up.
They bring that up.
But that was when she was bigger.
No. I mean, like, the next best thing was Monica, remember?
Well, that was with a couch, though. I mean, that's not...
I'm sure the couch weighs more than Coma Guy.
No, dead weight. It's tough.
Yeah.
You just gotta lift him up.
And it looked like he had muscles, so that's probably more...
Yeah.
And she didn't have help lifting him. She had help lifting
him. She really just had to like, slide stuff off.
What?
Yeah.
She could ask the nurse for help.
Probably...
I think if you asked the nurse in that situation, that would have been really creepy, too.
Well,
the nurse should have been like, red flags.
Creepy all for this episode.
I feel like in order to make this guy more attractive, they leave out the very important, like, friggin', what do they shove up your urethra?
Oh, catheter.
A catheter. There would totally be a friggin' catheter hanging there, but that wouldn't be sexy. So, there's no catheter to be seen. How's the guy using the bathroom at all?
That's true.
He's just wetting the bed.
You'd need help for that.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah. In real life, there would be
some...
Take
the catheter out, then you thread it back through the
pajamas.
I can't believe Monica didn't step up and be like, well, I changed your catheter out.
Would they actually have, like, changed out his clothes that often if he was in a coma?
Every few days.
I
feel like,
every few days.
Yeah, there's like a bed sore protocol.
Coma,
I don't know what it
I'm
is.
I'm sure that there's probably some sort of standard or you're going to get like bed sores.
Yeah, because it seems like it's only been a couple days. I don't know if it would only be a couple days that they would change clothes.
Do we know how long he stayed in there?
Longer.
Like, do we have...
No,
I try to see
no
if there's any like calendar dates or time things you could use as reference, and there's not a whole lot.
It should have been, like, weeks being crossed
I mean,
off.
It could have been
you've
that
got,
long because Nora being went
right.
that long.
You've got to think it's a long weekend, a week tops.
Yeah.
With because no, Miss Nora is, she arrives after and leaves before he wakes up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would imagine, in my opinion, I would think that it would only be, like, once a week they would change clothes.
Hmm.
Just because you're not moving.
But when you want to see a guy naked... You change the clothes sooner than later.
You know,
no, you just go flash the peak. That's why they're not tied in the back. Easy
you don't know what they're shaving. I mean, they did shave his face, but we don't know what else they shaved for him.
You know Monica's lingering. You know she's lingering.
The dude woke up and like, this isn't something I normally do.
The dude woke up and walked out to two women in his room that he had no idea who they were.
Almost a fantasy.
He's like,
but they were already mad at him.
They weren't mad at him yet. They were mad
as soon as he opened his mouth.
It took
they
a
were
second
mad.
For him.
Like, it's a nightmare.
So you're responsible for this landing strip.
So yeah, so we're at that moment. So they come in there because they're racing to go take care of the coma guy again, and they find that he's out of bed. He's in the bathroom. He walks out. And he's like, oh hey.
Who are you?
He's like, you feeling all right?
Yeah, you feeling all right? He's like, I feel a little woozy. But so now he proceeds to be berated by these two women, which I feel like if the doctors had known that they were coming by, wouldn't one of the doctors have mentioned, hey, there's these two ladies that keep coming by and taking care of you. You know who they are? But he seems still like totally shocked that somebody was coming by.
I don't think they would because doctors want to get in, do their checkup,
yeah,
and get the hell out.
The doctors
they're not
no
in the in the small talk business. It's hey, how you feeling today? All right, well you're gonna die, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah. That's
true.
The nurse, if a nurse would have noticed, may have said.
Yeah, nurse might have said something.
If he was in the right shift.
The other weird thing with this too is the way they portray a coma patient. Like he wouldn't be up and walking about right away either.
Like he's not the craziest person in the situation, but his reaction is insane to me because he's just like. They're like, yeah, we've been just, like, coming in and taking care of you. And he's like,
okay,
cool.
Thanks.
Like, he's not like, what do you mean taking care of me? Like, what do you mean changing my clothes? Like,
well, they didn't get into specifics, though, did
yeah,
they?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah, actually.
Oh, yeah,
when
they
got
the opportunity. Yeah, yeah, I forgot.
He's like, as soon as I find out a stranger has shaved me, I'm going to be like, okay, where's the hospital security? Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
No, he diffused the situation the way a responsible adult would. You don't want to escalate it.
Yeah.
As in, what the hell are you doing? Get away from me. You just go, really? Thanks.
I agree completely.
He was probably...
Exit stage right. Appreciate it.
He was probably really freaked out.
Yeah.
Like,
he recognized that these women are batshit crazy.
Unstable.
Let's just de-escalate the situation.
Absolutely.
They might cut me. They shaved me.
Right.
They got
I
me
like
an etch-a-sketch.
They gave me the landing strip. I don't know what to do with this.
There's like glitter and shit.
Guys don't do landing.
Not straight.
I
don't know.
It's very Monica. You know, it would just be perfect proportioned.
She'd have like a
measured out.
Yeah, like she'd have a ruler.
On either side.
Yeah. For the shaving?
For
the
little bit, couple activities.
No. We're going down a dark hole.
Getting a ruler for that activity.
I want to go down this
She's
lane.
The
I want to go down this lane. Oh,
that's good. So he basically says, see you around after all that, and that really pisses him off, but they should have known. They should have known what was coming after that. He doesn't know who they are.
Yeah.
We give and we give.
Yeah. They get mad. They leave. That's the end of the plot point, pretty much.
We thought you were different.
Yeah.
I guess it was just the coma.
Just the...
Of course it was. Of course it was the coma. You can make them anything you want when they're in a coma.
You can speak, so it was great.
Literally. You can't fuck it up.
Hey, you guys think the same thing about us. Don't play.
What?
See how you're trying to throw everybody under the bus and nobody got on board.
We're just looking to de-escalate the situation. I don't trust anybody that drinks half and half from a carton.
With a straw.
You know, don't be salty just because you want to do it.
Speaking of half and half, let's talk about the other half of this episode.
Ross kisses Mrs. Bing.
Yes.
How do you guys feel about this?
This
is just as troubling, but it's something that's more realistic, I feel like.
It's funny.
Especially when your mom looks like that.
Best side note part is Joey saying, I'm just going to go pee in the street.
So I talked about, this is, for me, Joey's been kind of like hit or miss on his delivery of lines up until this point, and this episode is like a really good Joey episode. A lot of his delivery is excellent. He's got great time. He's very funny. So I give Joey an A+ in season 1, episode 11.
I agree with that. I think he's definitely struggled in the beginning, and you can see, I've said this a few times, but you can see his progression, I think, more over the course of Friends than any other character. And he's kind of hitting every few episodes with this right now. He's sporadic, but he's coming into his own.
So is Joey's MO in the show the attractive guy who gets hired because he sleeps with the producers? Is that maybe his real life thing?
I think maybe that could have been.
I don't know, because originally when they had Joey, like the original script, they wanted Monica and Joey to be the power couple of the group. It wasn't supposed to be Ross and Rachel, but Matt LeBlanc wanted Joey to be dumber and more funny, so he pushed for that for the character.
This is true.
Then you think could have been a little better with the delivery if you're going to request that from the character. But
I think he does a reasonably good job, but it was also
there.
Like
well,
one
the
of
writing
his,
also gets better as the as
the,
it goes on.
The writing gets better, but I think it was one of his first major acting jobs as well, because when he auditioned for the part, he didn't have any money. The first thing he bought with his money was a hot meal, because he hadn't had a hot meal in so long. So he was already the struggling actor.
And in my mind, it was a lasagna. Or two pizzas.
It had to be a meatball sub.
I'm definitely going meatball sub. It's budget friendly, still delicious. Hits the Italian mark.
Yes. Check, check, check. So the first time that we see Miss Bing, she's going on Jay Leno.
Which I think this is our first major, is it considered, I guess it would be considered a cameo, first major cameo from a famous person in the show.
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't remember anybody that at that level of fame up to this point.
And they open up, they got Jay Leno, freaking Jay Leno.
Which
as
I thought was
Jay Leno.
Pretty,
yeah,
I thought it was pretty impressive for 11 episodes in. I mean, this was a major NBC show, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's still early, it's in the first season, nobody knew what level it was going to. Jay Leno couldn't have been easy to get.
Yeah.
And technically Morgan Fairchild, too, I mean.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, she's a little before my time, but
yes, she is. But she's still she's.
What was she
desperate
in?
Desperate on the back end of her career, looking for work. Yep.
She's still. Yeah.
Anyway.
Morgan.
She's on my list.
Wow, that IMDb IMDb picture really highlights her assets, doesn't it?
She's a little busty.
You know what? They highlighted those assets the entire time she would show herself on
front. She looks smart.
Like, they even tried to cut it off, and still.
No, you cropped it right there for a reason. Come on.
Back in the day.
Does it say she's in Jack Ryan?
Dude, those fingers are long as... Look at those fingers. They're so long.
Ooh, those are some creepy fingers.
I was noticing that when she was putting them on Ross's chest when they were talking right before. I was like, she kind of has these really long fingers.
Yeah, those are for piano players.
But I thought maybe her nails were just really long because it was kind of far.
Maybe. That picture is terrifying.
She needs to eat a sandwich.
Possibly a meatball sub. But anyways, she's on Jay Leno.
Talking about her sex books.
And Kung Pao Chicken.
And Kung Pao
Chicken because she got arrested in London.
Yeah, we don't know.
And we don't really get to hear that full story.
I know, I wish we did.
I was so confused. I was like, so I kept thinking about inside jokes or way to incorporate Kung Pao Chicken into the sex. And I was like,
I don't understand why she answered that way either. It
doesn't
make any sense.
So here's what I gathered with that. Here's what I gathered with that. So she said she got arrested because after doing the act or being intimate with a man, she gets a craving for Kung Pao Chicken. So she walked out somewhere naked, basically.
You think she walked out somewhere naked?
That was a media assumption I made.
So I have a slightly different opinion because I've seen the episode with extra scenes.
This is going to be disgusting, isn't it?
And no. I think...
It's Friends, not a porn.
Just every time there's anything that we're like skeptical about of like what actually happened, it's always something really weird that he comes up with.
That's the best part.
Come up with
Joey's
weird
butthole,
shit. Thing was disgusting.
With the lotion?
Yeah. Yes!
So, that's why I had to ask.
Go ahead, Steven.
I still think that's what happened.
Let's hear it.
All right, I'm sorry, I'm not going to live up to the hype of the butthole. So there's an extra scene in the extended episodes where Nora Bing goes on to finish the story by saying something on the lines of, anyway, he got a great tip that night.
Yeah.
And so I think she went out and slept with like the chef of somebody, like of that makes Kung Pao chicken, like in the kitchen. And they did it there, and then she immediately had Kung Pao chicken afterwards. And then she was arrested for doing it in a place where people serve food.
Got it. She had sex, ordered the Kung Pao chicken, had sex with the delivery guy that brought the Kung Pao chicken, undercover cop, arrested.
Okay.
I think you totally went somewhere else with that.
No, I don't know why the undercover cop would have arrested her. She's of age.
Yeah, because
of the great
tip. She
totally
did like a prostitution type of a deal.
Oh. The great tip.
But is prostitution illegal in London?
Well, the thing is, though, did she pay for the Kung Pao chicken?
Oh, she paid for it.
The question is, what did she pay for it with?
Maybe she did it to get the Kung Pao
chicken. A little solicitation. Yeah, that's a...
I don't know.
That's a fair assumption. A little solicitation.
I don't mean...
But then the cop's dirty, too.
Well, some form of... quid pro quo going on for the Kung Pao chicken. Maybe. I think that's doable, right? Something for a little.
I can
something.
Never put a good story together with that because I just thought it was all stupid.
But that's good writing, though.
It
makes you think. You don't really know. It makes you think, like, what could that be?
Nah, I'm much rather have had a solid joke in there than all that. What? Because it just leaves you like, did I miss something? Or not?
Yeah.
Takes
it
the
really
focus off the punchline.
Needless to say, he got a great tip. And I'm like, this is fun.
So then I banged his brains out.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Okay. But, you know, we're establishing this dynamic with Chandler's mom here. When she goes on Jay Leno, he's obviously distraught. Can barely watch it. It gives him anxiety. But you're kind of seeing the relationship between those two and how disturbing it is.
It's a little bit more than what he's already, like, given a glimpse of after, like, during the Thanksgiving episode and stuff.
Yeah. It's got to be pretty... It's got to be weird to have your... mom be like
erotic novelist.
Yeah, erotic novelist, right? And she's kind of a sex symbol too, because she's like hot and stuff. and talks about her sexuality all the time. So,
well, and like she's well known. Even Pablo knew who he was.
Oh, they yeah. That was hilarious. You know what I
mean? Well, I'm glad you said that because we do get introduced to Pablo again. That's one thing we haven't talked about.
Pablo?
Oh, what was it?
He's hanging around.
Whatever.
Well, because he was also saying well, it was really hard when he was a kid. He said when he was like 11 years old, you didn't have your friends passing around a book called Mistress Bitch.
Yeah.
Reading page 79.
Cross that question off the bamboozle list.
Great attention to detail, though. So Chandler does have that great line. That's too much information.
Yes.
And Nora's on a book tour, so she's coming to visit him. Mm-hmm. And he seems kind of dreadful, but in a way you can tell that he's happy. His mom's coming to see him.
I didn't get that.
You didn't get that?
No.
Whoa.
I think he is.
He's not really happy. Well, first off, he was not happy to be, this is how I find out. Most people get a phone call.
Yeah. That's true. But when they're at dinner, when they do go to dinner and he's kind of giving her a hard time, but in like a loving way.
Yeah, they have a little moment. Happy that they have a little there. Moment where they're like,
It's like this.
You need to come out of your shell.
Yeah, that is a nice moment.
Well, I think you could dread the moment of them coming, but then when they get there, be like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Nothing I can do about it now.
Right.
They're here.
You're here. Let's deal with it.
So while Rachel doesn't have her own real storyline in this, she plays an important role in kicking off the Mrs. Bing storyline because she brings Paulo, and that prompts Ross to take shots of tequila.
Which he doesn't really, what did he say? No, but a man
he doesn't
can
really,
change.
Yeah.
A man can change.
He's like, I'm not really a shot drinking kind of guy.
Which definitely lines up with his character. Like, yes. Yep, I can see that. Ross doesn't take shots.
I've got an illegal monkey, but I'm not going to take a tequila shot. Fucking retarded.
Well, that's because it would prompt.
Well, it was a rescue, right? Wasn't Marcel a rescue?
Yeah, but he doesn't have a monkey license.
It's a rescue.
Yeah, but it's still like
it's
a
also the same
thing.
Guy who didn't even like the cat jumping on his shoulder. Now he's got a monkey.
Yeah, he didn't like the cat.
Okay,
and
the
then,
cat scared the shit out of him.
Like Steven always says, he's the guy who always has to have travel insurance. He thinks that's crazy not to have travel insurance. Why wouldn't you have a monkey license?
Yeah.
I think it boils down to responsibility,
rescue.
Right?
Well, yeah, but the monkey can put him in jail. The monkey can put him in jail since he doesn't have the authorization.
And that was the his off-base character thing, but as a whole, he's the most responsible individual of the group.
Sure.
Yeah.
Monica's pretty responsible.
She's like the mother hen.
No, she's very impulsive.
She's like slept with
she's
an 18-year-old.
She's obsessive compulsive.
She thought she was in college.
She like slept with an 18-year-old.
She didn't know.
No, until afterwards.
Still did it.
But she wouldn't have if she knew he was a baby.
Do we?
Which, by the way,
she also didn't put 10%. In savings, obviously, because she loses her job and has
right.
no savings.
There
and
you
have
go.
To
fair point.
She
fair
is not
point.
The most responsible.
Absolutely not. Not even close.
You guys make a fair argument. Ross is he plans everything. Yeah.
But tequila shots are too.
Yeah.
Much,
well,
so.
Ross got married three
well,
times.
What I mean.
Okay.
We tried to be in a committed relationship three times.
We can have this fight a little too fast, though. Let's be realistic. We can have this fight all night.
How did it happen?
We could have this fight.
He got drunk and got married. Maybe he knew that about himself in the beginning, which is like, not a
okay,
shy
hold
guy.
On. He was not drunk when he got
fault.
Married to Carol.
So, you're
he
saying,
was not drunk when he got married to Emily. He was only drunk when he got married to Rachel.
Okay. Emily was the love of his life. I mean, not Emily. I'm sorry.
Rachel.
But he got married to her when she was drunk.
And he was drunk.
Right. Okay. So the first marriage, good. Ended in a lesbian thing. He didn't predict that.
Not his fault.
That's the only marriage that
he's
had
so far. I'll
give
that to you. The other two, he was dumb and stupid.
Second marriage said the wrong name at the altar.
Could
a little
his fault.
Could happen to anybody.
Could happen to anybody.
Look, he didn't happen to you.
Ross is still pushing my buttons at this point. He's getting on my nerves with his insecurity, and he obviously feels some type of way about Rachel, and he still won't make that known. He just bottles it down.
Yeah,
see, I sympathize with him here. Like, to see your crush in front of your face, chowing down and licking someone's hand.
Yeah.
That's hard.
Yeah.
I give him that in this scene, but, like, the other scene
or, like, they walk into a movie theater.
What?
Sorry.
No. What?
You're talking about.
Sorry, personal reference.
Okay, let's look at me fights.
Sorry.
What's in the half?
I already asked that question.
Half whiskey, half cream.
whiskey
would be much too strong for her. It would
vodka.
Be vodka.
With vodka.
No, the scene before this, before they actually go to the restaurant, and they're talking, they're at the Jay Leno show, or they're watching the Jay Leno show, and Rachel's saying that Paulo came back, and he's like, oh, he didn't die in a fiery plane crash? The way he talks in that, I'm like, dude, it's so obvious, like,
But, like, here's, to be fair, all three of the guys make fun of him.
Well, yeah, but, like,
so,
it just bothers me the way that he...
All three of the guys make fun of who?
Paulo.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying all three of the guys make fun of Ross, and
that's
I was
what I
like,
thought you said.
"Yeah, that's what I thought you said." So
but
I was
I'm
like,
saying, "He's like, how is it not blatantly obvious?" This? And I was like, "Well, I've seen all three of the guys when they're making fun of his accent, going,
yeah, that is pretty good."
I don't know. That
but,
scene just always makes me feel like
yeah.
I'm
so Ross.
Whiny about it.
Yeah, he's being whiny. I mean, he gets super drunk on tequila shots, and he's appraising Jory.
They end up in what I can only describe as a vestibule.
No, it doesn't count.
Well, hold on. Before we get to that, this is where Rachel has a conversation of, your work made me want to be a writer. How would I do that, basically? And she's telling her all the euphemisms for genitalia and giving her some good information on that.
You're dangerously close to one of my questions.
It wouldn't have anything to do with throbbing pins, would it?
Not that.
Don't want to be anywhere around when you start writing with those.
My mother, ladies and gentlemen. So,
yeah.
Nora goes to check her messages. That's when Ross comes out of the ladies' room.
Yes. The ladies' room.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even
notice
that. No.
That's funny. He comes out, he's like, and he sees the woman come out of the same bathroom that he was just in. He's like,
and
Nora's like, doing all right.
It is Chicas and Chicos. He came out of the
Chicas. I never noticed he came out of the woman's bathroom.
You never asked the woman come out of the bathroom behind him?
Guys, we're looking for a new co-host on the Friends Like Us podcast.
If I'm honest,
hit us up on Twitter.
I was just looking at Mrs. Bing the whole time.
Damn, thirsty.
Wow, she's that good.
She's got Ross in a trance and you as well.
Yeah.
Okay, well let's talk
understandably
about...
so, though.
Let's talk about the real thing, which is that kiss.
Hmm.
Ross had time to back out. He didn't.
But his reaction time is slower because of the tequila.
But he has time to look.
He has time
say,
to get out.
Oh no. Keep it coming. And do it. I'll rewound just to make sure. Baby
she
lean in.
Stared
little
at
baby
him.
Lean in. Not a full fledged, but baby lean in.
Oh yeah, he for sure wanted to do it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
He it was that it was that look of it was that look of everything in me is saying don't do this. But the carnal instinct in me cannot help it.
I'm going to do it.
Yes.
Because, like, they stared at each other for a while.
But when you break it down, yeah, that's... He's breaking the code big time when it comes to that. But Ross is pretty shitty. And Nora seems to be... have all her wits about her.
True.
She's not that drunk.
Yeah.
And she knows exactly
what
she's
doing.
But she pities him and kisses him.
Yep. I think she wanted... more than that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's a younger, hot-looking
little...
boy.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's dirty. It's forbidden.
Yeah.
It's weird. All right,
you're getting
it's
way
bad.
Too into this.
It's bad. It's really,
it's very,
really bad.
Very bad.
It would be wrong. Very, very wrong.
See, this is the kind of shit that sends Ross into that downward spiral that just makes episodes so good later on. He wouldn't be this batshit crazy if it wasn't for these little storylines along the way.
Yeah, so luckily Joey catches him before anything gets too far.
It's a great moment.
He's like, I'm going to go pee in the street.
I'm going to go pee in the street.
Like Jeremy said earlier, that is a great Joey moment to where he's kind of coming into his own a little bit. You really see Joey shine.
I love Nora Bean's face, too. When she has that, oh, fucking shit reaction to
absolutely.
She knows.
Wouldn't
she
you?
Knows this is bad.
Yeah, so next we see him is Ross is getting to the apartment early to try and grab Joey to convince him to not tell Chandler if he hasn't already.
It's not a big deal. What do you tell him?
in Bizarro World. And this comes, and Joey has one of the lines that I will bring up later in the series because it bothers me, because he establishes at the beginning the code is no moms,
sisters are okay.
But sisters are okay.
Maybe a hot aunt.
Maybe a hot aunt.
And
but
later on,
yeah.
He's not okay with the sister
he's
thing.
He's not okay with the sister thing. But there's a...
It's fine when it's not your sister.
Yeah.
Well, plus there could be a... Are we not allowed to talk about the future thing?
No,
you can.
All the way to the
end. Well, so...
Spoiler!
Because there was that... Yeah, because he got really pissed off when Chandler made out with his sister. But it could also have been... You forgot which sister.
Yeah,
he was a little
it.
Hot going into it.
He was hot before that.
Before
though.
He thought that
thought it was just a fling.
Yeah, right. When he thought it was just a fling, then he was still pretty mad. But once Chandler convinced him, no, I thought that I could really see us being in a relationship. Then,
but he was hot when he found out you could really fall for her. Now, is that true? Or were you just trying to get over Janice by groping my sister?
Yeah, so he was mad about the idea that could have been one of the options, right?
I think that's
so.
Pretty fair to be mad about, because you're trying... I mean, you don't know what his sister told him.
Yeah.
So she could have been, oh, I really like him, he said that he really likes me, you know, whatever, and you're trying to protect your sister.
Yeah.
So, of course, he came in hot in there until he could figure out what's going on, which did not turn out great, but...
Yeah.
Anyways...
Joey's the only person I don't hate, really. At some point.
It's hard to hate Joey. He's
yeah,
such a nice
you
guy.
You can't hate Joey. But yeah, that is some nice foreshadowing with the sisters are okay. Maybe a hot-looking aunt.
But never a mom.
Never a mom! So
Chandler
should have used later
Chandler,
on.
Chandler comes out and catches him. But one thing I did notice is Joey is very quick-witted in this scene.
Mm-hmm.
Grip size, you know,
yeah.
Well, somebody forgot to bring whatever.
Yeah,
like he's just naming.
Oh, yeah. The fact that he catches, you didn't bring your racket. So it's like he's lying, or he's unlying Ross's lie better than Ross can lie.
It's really good.
I like the ending the best, though, when Monica comes up and interrupts him. He's not even wearing a jock strap.
Oh, yeah.
What did I ask?
So awkward.
It's one of the better Monica moments.
What did I ask? What did she say? What are you guys doing? Or
yeah, she was like, what are you guys doing here?
What?
I didn't even bring a jock strap. Like, what?
Ultimately, Joey does convince Ross that he needs to tell Chandler.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was trying to justify it a little bit by saying that she was sexy, but then Joey goes on this tangent of talking about how sexy his mother is. There's that weird
dynamic.
Joey's distracted. He's upset now because he's upset that Ross kissed a mom, but also upset that he wouldn't want to kiss his mom.
To the point. He's upset to the point to where he even brings a picture to the coffee shop. Like, he had to go digging for that. He might have went back home to Queens just to get that picture. But, hey, look at my mom. She's pregnant, but look at her. I thought that was hilarious.
It's kind of a mini one of those things where friends flip something on their head, because normally the joke is people make fun of, like, yeah, man, I'm going to do your mom. But in this, it's kind of reversed, because Joey's, like, trying to convince somebody that they would want to do their mom.
Right.
So I like the writing in that really a lot.
Did y'all catch the mistake in that one?
Oh.
About the kids? The number of kids?
The number of kids. He's like, do you think it's easy for someone to have 7 children? Or you think it's easy for someone to give birth to 7 children?
Yeah, and there was 8.
There's 8.
He had
maybe
7
one
sisters.
Of them was adopted.
So we get to Ross is telling Chandler. Well, he originally tries to blame it on Paolo.
Which is weird.
He tries to pin it on Paolo.
Paolo kissed my mom.
Well, you know how he gets when he's had a few.
Which kind of foreshadows that Paolo is that type of person.
That's true.
But we don't know that yet.
We already hate him, and that's kind of how they take us to the point of hating him even more. But then he kind of swings it around, or he says, he confesses.
Yeah.
And then he was like, well, ask Joey. Joey knew. You know?
Yeah.
And then that was not a good idea.
So Chandler's mad at Joey and Ross. But Ross is going to end up convincing him he needs to talk to his mom. What would you do if you found out that your best friend kissed your mom?
Punch him in the throat.
I would be a little creeped out.
Yeah?
I'd be unnerved. But as long as it was a mutual kiss, I guess, I don't know.
I think it would be weird if
my... Jeremy's like, hey, you know.
That's...
Right, I mean,
whatever.
If
each their own.
I mean, that's my honest opinion. I would just be like, I don't get it, but whatever you want to do. All right.
I mean, at first I'd be like, ah! But now that I had some time to process, I'm loving this.
That Ross reaction.
No, so my mom is a single woman. If this happened,
but if it's your best friend,
it'd be tough. It'd be tough. But if they were happy together, and you know,
no,
might
okay,
be able to move
let
on.
Me tell you the honest.
Don't be mature about
no,
it.
Let me tell you the honest guy
first.
Answer that no one wants to say because it's much more shallow than this. No guy's gonna be okay with this because it gives your friend the best repertoire of comebacks. Ever because he's actually doing your mom. And then he can come in and be like, I'm your stepdad, which is the biggest power move ever.
Go to your room.
Like, it wouldn't even matter. It wouldn't even matter about my mom's happiness. I would be so mad just because my best friend would be able to do that shit.
Oh, that's,
like,
I wouldn't
no,
even think of that for
no,
him. Yeah.
I don't like it.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
Steven, we care about your future.
I would just want to kill him.
There is no way you would remain best friends.
No,
no,
no
fucking
no.
Way.
Have
absolutely
you ever
not.
Seen?
But are the, there's the debate. Is that the best friend group? Is they're not anymore.
No, yeah, they wouldn't be best friends.
Yeah,
they're
you
they're
would
not.
Name it like
especially
your mom.
After you kill them.
After you kill them.
There's only five friends now.
We're looking for a replacement. No, so the answer is. We want mom to be happy, but we can't because we're mature. That's what it boils down to.
Because we know our best friend better than you.
Mom, if you're out there, I'm okay with it. Just, you do what makes
oh,
you happy.
Look, we have one mature person.
No,
nope,
he's just pretending to be mature.
Not
so what,
mom.
One of your best friends going to listen to this and be like, all right, I got the green light. Finally!
Challenge accepted. Here we go.
Don't you dare.
There it is.
Or whatever, you know, do it, whatever. But so Chandler just wants to slam the door. There's nothing you can say at this point.
Yeah.
And he leaves, and Joey leaves behind him.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything else to that story?
They finally, Ross confronts him in the coffee house and is like, hey, it's also your mom's fault.
Yeah.
You got to be mad at her, too. And kind of talks him into going to have a conversation with her about the way that she acts and how it makes him feel.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. Your mom really shouldn't be doing that with your best friend.
Yeah.
Much
like,
less initiating a 95-5 scenario. Lean in scenario. But.
Still.
I do like Chandler's line. I do like Chandler's line of, she's always been a Freudian
nightmare.
There's so many like... Freudian undertones throughout the first season, especially. Just
and we're gonna get some more in the next few episodes, right?
Yeah,
I think
so.
What comes after this is what I think is the best written line in this episode, which is Joey looking through the peephole at them, and he's like, "What are they doing?" He's like, "I don't know. They're getting really tiny. Now they're walking away, and then no, it's actually them coming forward." Because if you understand how it looks when you're looking on that side of the peephole, you know that they look really tiny and far away, and as they approach the peephole, they walk away. So I love that they were like
that is
clever
great.
Enough to come up with that line and make a joke out of it, because Joey's not smart enough to realize they're walking towards the door.
Did
a lot of reverse peephole looking at you.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Coming from a forensic expert in peepholes.
Please,
every don't act like everyone didn't know that about people.
I did.
See
nice.
Steven's other show called You, where he plays Joe. But
I confronted the guy at work.
Me out. Like I cannot watch that show now after that.
I confronted the guy at work that told me I looked like him, and I was like, "Hey, man, when you told me I looked like him, you didn't tell me he was also a creepy stalker guy."
Well, I was gonna say one of my favorite parts about this thing or this half, this conundrum was a part of Chandler that you don't ever really see and you haven't seen, because Chandler is not somebody anyone takes seriously. Chandler, he's probably gay. It's Chandler. Nobody is afraid of him. This is a whole different side of Chandler that comes out. He's like, you know, when Ross comes up to him and he was like, maybe you can't or you can't. And I mean, that's when he grabs his finger and twists it and gets Ross on his knee. And he was like, don't fucking point at me. You fucking kissed my mom. Don't talk to me. Don't act like you know anything about our relationship. Like, he crossed the line.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think every guy, no matter who they are, has that line. And I liked seeing that in Chandler, because Chandler is actually my favorite Friends character. Like, Rachel is the hottest. I love Jennifer Aniston. Like, she's like...
Well, no one expects you to say Chandler was the hottest.
I was like, so she didn't pick a guy to be the hottest. It was Rachel.
Rachel's the hottest. You know, and then even when they make up at the end, you know, and he's like, so maybe it wasn't bad.
Yeah.
You know, and he's looking at that finger, but maybe we'll go down that road again. And he puts his finger down. It was just a side of Chandler, like, oh, he's still somebody when it really comes down to it. You don't, there's always...
That's where the buck stops with Chandler, for lack of a better term. But he really shows some vulnerability in this episode, too, which you haven't seen as much with his sarcasm and his jokes. You actually get to see some vulnerability from him and why he is kind of the way he is. But it is funny when he grabs his finger and he's like, oh, we're just acting out a play.
We're acting out a Greek play,
yeah.
Okay?
That is
nice.
And then
when he has him on the knee, with his knee, and he twists it, he goes, still doing the play.
Well, you kiss my mom. Still doing the play.
Kiss my best Ross.
Oh, yeah. Because his mom was just going to leave and not even mention it. And we're just going to act like nothing ever happened.
Yeah, so
you kiss my best Ross.
And that's in the final scene at least the final scene for this plot point is he confronts her, which I feel like it's a very it goes against Chandler's instincts to confront people, and he knows that it has to be done. And he says, you kiss my best Ross, and they kind of make up. She apologizes, and you know, it's all said and done. He finally says some things to her that he's probably been wanting to say for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And we have another nice moment with them.
We get a wrap-up scene where Rachel gives everyone the first chapter of her sex book, and she... That's a kind of a running theme in season one. She can't type, because I think she also does a resume in season one and can't type either, so... That's
Do you think it's on all of them?
No, I think the copier caught a few.
Xerox machine probably.
Caught a few. That's Joey that said that.
I wish
he had some great lines in season one, didn't he? He was a little more clever, wasn't he?
I wish they would have given us just a few lines. Like, we got a few lines of Phoebe's song.
Yeah.
In this episode, I wish we'd have gotten like four sentences of this book.
Yeah. The closest thing we got to a sentence was when she's like, do you think it would, like, releasing it from its denim prism would be good. His love stick from a
denim
prism.
Yeah. Yes, it would.
Was it prism or prison?
Prison.
Prison.
Denim,
yeah, prison.
Denim prison.
And then she, like, corrected her on how to spell engorged.
What's
well,
a
there was heaving beasts.
What's a niffle?
What's a niffle? And his huge throbbing pins, and that's when Ross is like, you don't want to be anywhere around when he's riding with those.
Yeah.
And then, what's a public hair?
Public
hair. Oh, man, I forgot about that one. I don't remember seeing that one.
Let's play Bamboozle.
So, we're going to switch it up a little bit this time. Instead of us playing Bamboozled against each other, Steven is going to ask the questions to Stephanie and Jeremy. All
right. So, hey Siri, flip a coin.
Heads.
It's heads.
Well, I said Jeremy pick a side, and Jeremy was right.
Correct.
So, Jeremy gets first shot at a question.
You've just been bamboozled. Go.
I want it.
You get it. You're good at lightning rods. Okay. All right. Question one. What occupation and side occupation do they give the coma guy? The girls give the coma guy.
So he is a... with the pottery, a sculptor. And it's his side job.
Okay.
What is his main job?
Yeah, what I thought would have been the hard one.
Right. He was a lawyer.
Okay, I am going to give that to you. lawyer who teaches sculpting on the side.
Oh, okay.
But
that's fair.
Sculptor is fine.
Yeah.
All right.
Pretty close.
Yeah.
With who he's going up against, he needs
right.
a point.
Do you want this to be on the air or not?
All right. Question two. So send it over to Steph.
Put your notes away. What are you doing? Please,
I'm
no.
I'm allowed to have notes.
No, you're not allowed to have
yeah,
notes.
Yeah, I am.
What is the title of the book Mrs. Bing talks about on Jay Leno?
Oh.
No, there's no notes. What, you scared to make it a fair game?
To
come on, what's he out doing with the hand tied behind my back?
Oh, Euphoria Unbound.
All right. That is a point for you. And an asterisk, because you use notes.
Right.
I'm just kidding.
Didn't ask.
We use notes, too, on the show.
I know you
we
do.
Use notes.
Because I listen to your
I've
show, unlike somebody over
life.
Here.
We only used notes
right.
once for the show. For
we are taking away my third question, because you answered it in the middle of the podcast.
Way to go.
Alrighty, this one wasn't quite answered. So, Jeremy, here's your shot. According to Mrs. Bing, what do you need for a good book?
Five European countries, 30 euphemisms for men's genitalia, and...
So I'm going to go ahead and say you're wrong. You're close, though.
Six.
It's half a dozen European
six.
Suits.
Suits?
Suits is what he says, right? European suits.
Oh,
let's get a check on the script. We got the script pulled up.
About to say.
Half a dozen European cities.
Oh, I hear suits every time. We're going to have to give you that point.
Thank you.
Because you did get the 30 euphemisms for genitalia right as well.
Right.
And bam.
Bang, you got separate books.
Separate book.
All right. Jeremy gets a point. 2 points to Jay.
Two pity points.
By the way, no notes needed.
No notes. You need to balance itself out. All right. He didn't have it written verbatim.
Sorry about that.
All right. I got one that... Because you're taking notes, maybe you'll know, but this is what I thought would be the hardest question. What is Mrs. Bing's room number at her hotel? Stephanie.
Well, this is bullshit.
Hate for you to lose because you wouldn't pay attention.
Paying attention? I wasn't paying attention.
No, you were writing a note.
I don't even know why. I have no idea. When did this come up?
Wait, look.
It comes up when she's in the vestibule area and she's talking.
You can't use that word.
It came up naturally.
It did not. It was not a vestibule. That was the bathroom area. She was on the phone trying to check her messages.
Room.
All right, Jeremy, would you like... Okay, that was wrong. Yes. Would you like a chance to steal?
I would.
All right, what do you think it is?
76.
There was a 6 in it. The answer is 226.
So just to get it correct here, we got 2-1, right?
2-1? Yes, so Jeremy has 2. Steph has 1. Technically, you were just trying to steal that question, so this next question goes back to you. If you get it right, you lock in the win. If you get it wrong, Steph can tie, and that puts me in a precarious position because I have no more questions.
I'm on it.
All right, so I need to start looking up some options here. Here you go. What is Joey's mom's first name?
If only you guys could see faces.
I'm awesome at them. So... Gloria.
You got it!
Let's go! Let's go!
God damn it!
Wow.
Acting like you didn't know.
Stephanie, you've been bamboozled! With no notes!
That Where's your note now, hand monkey?
It was on here! It was right here! I'll show it to you!
That was so fucking clutch.
You're an asshole. You were acting like you didn't know.
That was tough.
Over there acting like you didn't know.
Ah, that was great. All right,
let me read
take us out of here.
Take you home. Thank you guys for joining
Gloria
us.
Gloria Trevi.
Sorry, can we get that again?
I'm sorry.
Thank you guys for joining us. We really enjoyed it. So
thank
that.
You for having
me. Damn it! trying to read the outro. Thanks. That concludes today's episode of Friends Like Us. Next episode, we'll be discussing the one with a dozen lasagnas, Season 1, Episode 12. Go out and watch this episode and join us back here. If you'd like to keep up with us, please follow us at Twitter, FriendsLikeUsP1, Instagram, FriendsLUPodcast, and Facebook, FriendsLikeUsPodcast. I'm Braden. On behalf of Leah, Jeremy, Stephanie, and Steven, this has been the Friends Like Us podcast. Thank you, guys. We'll see you next time.
See you, pals.